The Caliburs. Today we have Jason. Jason, what is your profession?
I'm a personal trainer. I work at Crunch Fitness. I have a nutrition degree from Georgia Southern University. I have my certifications through NASM, and so I have a corrective certification as well as my certified personal training certification as well.
How long have you been doing this?
So I've been at Crunch for almost 4 years, but I've been training for almost 6 years full time.
Was this a, sorry, what were
Yeah,
you gonna
that's it. That's it. Yeah.
say? Was this a job that you always wanted to do for like a
No,
long
so I
time?
went to school for chemistry first. I thought I wanted to be a pharmacist, just so I could make a lot of money. But then as I got deeper into that course load, I realized that a lot of pharmaceuticals are more so about, again, one, making money, but two, pushing certain type of medicines and pills, things like that, and not necessarily correcting certain issues like with blood pressure and diabetes and cholesterol and anything like that. So my mom is pre-diabetic, so through like working out and eating healthier and things like that, she became like healthier, and instead of having to go on medication, she turned her life around for the most part. But I was like, I could help more people doing that. So when I was in school, decided to change from chemistry to nutrition my last year there. It just so happened most of my credits transferred over, no problem. So only put me back 1 year. And so I just told myself either I was going to become a dietitian or a trainer. And I chose trainer so I could help on both ends, where it's the weights and the food. Just like way, the less time you have to go see the doctor, the better for most people. In America, we have an
Right.
obesity epidemic and all that. So it's like, let me do my part to make sure I can help people become healthier. And now I have to take so many medicines and things like that.
Yeah, man, big pharma. That's a whole nother rabbit hole right there. Like, we could spend like a
Yeah.
whole whole nother podcast episode just on that alone,
Yeah.
because that's huge. But I mean, I'm glad you switched out. Were you influenced by partially influenced at least by the fact that you were already working out and you were.
Kind of, but not really. To me, it was always like second nature. I've been probably active since I started walking as a little kid. So to me, it'd be weird not to be in shape. I've never known what it's like to be like overweight, or quote unquote weak or anything like that. But it's just doing a lot of sports growing up, so I've always been active. And then when I got to college is when I got more serious about weightlifting. But I didn't think about it as far as a career until later on into college.
So what sports did you play?
Basketball, track and field, baseball, did a little bit of soccer. Just a variety. So it's now understanding that a lot of that translates pretty well to the gym as well, understanding like backgrounds and how you control your body and different hand-eye coordination, hand-feet coordination, lateral movements, jumping, all that. So it translated pretty well. So that way, when I did decide to start picking up more weights, it's a pretty easy transition.
Yeah, I mean, like, I watched you train your clients, and I've noticed that the way you train compared to the way other people train is really different. Like, you do a lot of more natural movement, those kind of exercises, more than just throwing them on a bench or a machine.
So I care what we call like quality of life. So things that you're gonna be doing outside of the gym, like I want to make those movements better. So like core strength, so maybe like you're bringing in groceries. Some people it can be hard having like groceries moving around, but like when you get used to it, maybe carrying kettlebells up and down like the floor area at the gym, and then you get used to that. Or going up and down stairs, a lot of people get winded. So working on step ups, working on can you sit down in a chair? That's the squat. Can you, if you're doing dishes and putting dishes up into the cabinet, that's like an overhead press. So getting people to understand like how the gym translates to real world scenarios, and so that's what I'm trying. Well, make it more applicable to them so they understand why they're doing it. So I'm not one of those trainers that just tries to kick your butt and just tries to get you to sweat, because I want you to think, I want you to know like what you're doing, why you're doing it. And then everyone's different. So over the course of the last maybe 4 years, I've worked with a few hundred people and no two people are the same. So
right.
I pick exercises that are geared towards what you need. And that's where my certifications and my background come in, so I can identify those things. But it's always about how can I help you feel better outside of the gym? You know, most people, they care about, oh, I just want to lose 20 pounds, or, oh, my clothes fit better. That's going to help. That's going to happen as like a byproduct.
Right.
But that's not my main goal. My main goal is to help you feel better. Make sure your joints feel stronger, feel better. Make sure when you move, you're more efficient in your movement. Your balance is better. By doing that, the weight will come off over time because your body learns how to adapt. You get stronger overall. So that's usually how I tackle it.
I think that helps people generally so much more than, like I said, just throwing them on a bench. And I feel like you could show somebody how to bench. You could show them how to squat. But a lot of people, they don't want to. They're not looking to be a bodybuilder. They don't want to be a bodybuilder. So what you do is, like I said, I feel like it's so much more beneficial to real world life. And hey, a lot of people, they get out of bed. You get older, it gets hard to get out of bed. Yeah. It gets hard to do certain things. And if you're healthy, that helps a lot.
Yeah. So it's just like a car. So we relate the body to a car all the time. The more miles you put on that car, things start to break down. And you need to take it in for maintenance, the oil changes, change the tires, change the brakes, things like that. Same thing with your body. The older you get, certain movements may not be as easy as they used to be because, again, you're putting more miles on your body. So, again, my job is to help reset that. Let me help you change your oil or change your tires, anything like that. So if I can, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me that without my help, they don't know where they would be because, you know, pains in their feet or their knees or their back starts to go away because their body is becoming more efficient in certain movements. And once you do that, then you can throw them underneath the squat bar or the bench press because now they have more mastery over their own body. But you can't just go straight to, oh, I want to get big and strong if you don't know how to, you know, control yourself. So all goes hand in hand.
Is that one of the most satisfactory feelings to have is when one of your clients says, wow, I was able to do this. I was able to go on a hike and I've never been able to hike before.
Yeah,
or like everything just fits so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've had clients cry in front of me because either they've reached their weight loss goal or they've gotten off of certain type of medication because they've lost X amount of body fat. Or I've had clients that have had like ACL repairs or meniscus repairs, and all of a sudden they go from having pain in their knees all the time to no pain at all. I wasn't able to touch my toes without pain in my lower back, and I could do that. Or when they sit down, you hear all those people, like all those noises, like, oh, when they stand up, same thing. It's just learning how to control themselves and the breathing and then the core control. So like, again, quality of life gets a lot better. And then
right.
They start to realize, oh, I could go for a walk and not get winded, or I could go. I've had clients, oh, now they're having their first grandkids. They're like, you want to be able to run and play with your grandkids, right?
Right.
Pick them up and, you know, not get tired and embarrassed just because you can't, you know, keep up with them. Yeah, so this is how you're going to do it. So we practice those type of things. And for them, it's like, okay, I can enjoy my life more and I don't have to be a couch potato. so, you know, if I could do that or help people go on hikes and like that, it usually turns out better for them.
I'm going to agree. So what are you grateful for today? Which was something you're grateful for today?
Well, one, being able to talk with you and your audience about, you know, at least being here and being a testimony of certain things. So, you know, I can help change people's perspective of what fitness is. So each day that I'm able to do that, I'm grateful for that. So, like, you're going to have days when not all your clients are going to show up because, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
So the ones that do show up, I'm grateful, you know, the fact that I'm able to get them a little bit further. So in my personal life, the fact that I have a roof over my head is big, which means I took my wants and my dreams, turned them into a career, and I'm able to provide for myself through helping people, right? So, you know, things like that is what I'm grateful for. You know, that's what I say, tomorrow's not a promise. So you, all you can do is, you know, worry about today.
Right. So, that's awesome. As long as
I have today, I'm happy. So, you know.
I agree. That's awesome. So what sets your soul on fire?
What sets my soul on fire?
Yep.
That's a good question. Seeing growth in myself. Sometimes I'm not the best at looking back and smelling the flowers. You know, you accomplish some things. So it feels good when, like, I have either clients or friends or anything like that have knowledge. Hey, you started here, whatever area of my life you're talking about, and now you're here. Like, when other people see that growth, it feels good. Because I'm my biggest critic. So sometimes, you know, harder on myself. So it feels good to have some type of acknowledgement from other people. But, you know, I feel it also feels good when you have like a to-do list or, hey, in 3 years, I want to be able to accomplish this, or 5 years. So like that thought process of achieving those type of goals, it makes me feel accomplished, makes me feel great, makes me feel like I'm hungry, I want to keep going, things like that. So very goal-oriented type of person. And that's what, you know, helps me want to keep going. Just keep achieving goals. Things like that.
Do you have a it could be professional or personal growth milestone that you want to reach at by the end of the year?
I was thinking about doing my own podcast with two of the other trainers at Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking about starting that, so that way in the new year we can really kick it off. So getting the idea down, the optics and all that, how we're going to run it, that's something I'm planning on doing. I started my online training business this year, so seeing that take shape and then seeing that, okay, that didn't really work the way I thought it was going to work, let me go this way. Like, so seeing the, you know, trial and errors of that throughout this year, so that way I know what to do better for next year. That's been, you know, part of that. But so the end of this year, just continue trying to be strong, mentally, physically, spiritually, all that. But also trying to learn to have more fun. You know, not just always work, but, like, you know, try to relax over now. So I'm trying to develop that.
It's hard, though. Sometimes it's hard when, you know, you have a lot of goals you want to meet. It's kind of hard to, even for me, that's one of the hardest things for me, is to step back and say, slow down, because you want to kind of enjoy that moment too. You don't want to just kind of work, because I literally just saw a meme while I was waiting for you to jump on, which said, what was it? It was, if you want to be remembered for working hard, that's all it's going to be saying on your tombstone, is this guy worked hard.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it, because you didn't enjoy anything in that life. All you did was work hard, and that's, life is also about living, you know what I mean? You do have to live too, and for me, I forget to live sometimes.
Yeah, finding that balance, and again, there's been moments in my life where I was doing too much living and not enough work. And then, as I've gotten a little bit older, sometimes I feel like I do a little too much work and not enough living. So again, trying to find that balance, and, you know, because I don't have, you know, I'm not married, no kids. So sometimes I'm like, oh, should I be going as hard as I can? So that way when I do have the wife and kids, I'll be like ready to really have fun. Or is it, no, I need to, you know, enjoy my life now. And then, you know, the wife and kids will add to that enjoyment. Or I don't know. So I go back.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think there's a right answer, but I don't think there's a wrong answer either.
Right.
Like, just sometimes you got to do what feels right in the moment.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. So, I know this is kind of dark, but do you know what epitaph is?
You said what?
Do you know what an epitaph?
No.
So, okay. So, this is a little dark, but on your gravestone, what would you like it to, what do you think it would be best to say? Like, this is Jason. He's remembered by, or for.
So this might be an even more dark answer. I don't know. But I'm a very simple guy. I really don't care what it says on there. It's just because I'm already dead, right? So I don't care if you just put my name, you know, the years I lived. But the type of person, I care more about, I guess, whoever I leave behind, what they thought, not necessarily what's just necessarily on that tombstone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do want to be a father one day. I do want to be a husband one day. I'm the youngest of five kids, so I already checked the sibling box off. So, you know, but yeah, so it's just, you know.
Maybe
helping people while I'm here, but, you know, at the end of the day.
Maybe you can say something. Maybe you can say, here lies Jason, who kicked my ass in personal trainer.
Yeah, like if anyone ever wants like a really great workout, I could play literally anybody on this planet. I know exactly how to do pretty much anything that needs to be done. Very confident in my abilities. Always trying to get better. Always learning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone ever wants a good workout, I can work anybody out.
So, what would you rather have? Because you can only pick one or the other. Would you rather have super speed or super strength?
Speed.
Why?
Yeah, the Flash is my favorite superhero of all time. Well, so I'd like to be a speedster. Yeah, speedsters are just cool. So, you know, you don't have to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about a lot of things. But it's like, yeah, I can go anywhere in the world, like basically like that. Yeah, give me super speed all day. The strength part is cool, but like after a certain point, it's like, you know, you could pick up a car, that's cool, but what are you going to do with that? I don't care. How's that going to help me get anywhere? I don't know. We get point A to point B really fast. And that's why in like boxing, they say speed and accuracy beat power.
Right.
So if I could be agile and fast,
okay.
Come on now.
See, I'm always assumed, I'm not going to lie, I assumed you would have said super strength as somebody who who's a lifter.
No. Give me super speed all day. I used to have, so when I was younger, everything about speed was like what I cared about. So like my favorite animal is a cheetah. My favorite superhero is a Flash. I ran track and field. That was my favorite sport out of everything else I did. So everything about speed was like my thing. And yeah, so part of that's just being athletic, you know. So.
See, I don't feel like my, when I was growing up, my superhero was Wolverine.
Okay.
Because he was short.
Yeah, and he's like 5'3", 5'4".
And he was, he had a temper.
Yeah.
And for me, when I was a kid, I was short and I had a temper. So, yeah, I was like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
So what would you say in terms of a red flag in a relationship? What's a no compromise for you? You will not compromise this in a relationship.
I probably have a lot, actually. Because I do think relationships take work, meaning like everyone's different. So just because something's okay in one relationship doesn't mean it's okay in another.
Right.
But if I was dating a young lady and she was like, hey, I want to try the whole polygamy thing or the open relationship thing, I'd be like, that's dead set. No, not for me. I don't do long distance either. So like, I don't know out of state, nothing like that. She has to have a job. Yeah, I don't care what the job is, as long as you're working, doing something. Cause that shows me a lot. If you're just kind of a, I'm gonna sit here on this couch and just want you to take care of me type of woman, that's not for me. You gotta get out and do something. Cause I do too much to be
right
annoyed by every time I come home, you sit on the couch and watch some TV. No, you gotta get up and do something. So laziness is, I guess, a red flag. That'd be like a no. Long distance is a red flag. That's like a no. Like, you know, we'd have to be there for a long time for you to like, if you got like a job offer and out of state, I'd be like, all right, cool. We're gonna stay together. We're gonna work on this. We'd have something established already. But if I met you and you're like, oh, no, I'm just here visiting. I live out of state. Yeah, I'm good.
Not even gonna try.
Yeah, not even thinking about it. So.
Those are good ones. I like that. Those are good ones.
Yeah.
What is a song that you listen to that nobody would ever expect you to listen to?
I listen to a lot of Spanish music.
Can you speak Spanish?
I think I'm learning. I've been, learning, but no, I'm not fluent yet, but definitely pretty good at reading and the writing. My speech needs some work, but I think I have a thing for Hispanic women.
Okay.
So I like to dance, salsa, and bachata, but like that type of music I really like. A lot of people aren't like aware of that. Like when I'm working out at the gym, a lot of the time it's Spanish music.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, and I listen to a lot of country as well. But like my go-to music is R&B, and definitely. But yeah, if you're talking about music that people don't necessarily think that I would listen to, it'd be some type of Spanish or country.
Are you Georgia born and bred?
Yeah. So I'm the only person in my family from Georgia. Everyone else is from Oakland, California.
Okay.
Or the Bay Area, pretty much. And then, but yeah, so.
So your family moved here and then you were born here.
Yeah. So the summer, my birthday's in December. They moved here, I think, May before I was born. And then a couple months later, here I am. Yeah.
So I'll get you some professional questions about what you, sort of what you do. So if somebody walks into the gym and they sign up with you and they want to be healthier, obviously signing up with you is a big start. But what would you tell them?
Start small, work your way up. So I think too many people go, hey, I've never worked out before, or it's been 10 years since I worked out. You know what? I'm tired of this gut. Let me lose it now. And they think that they're going to jump straight into a 5-day program. And it's going to turn it around, and then they're going to see results in a month or 2 months. It's not realistic. Habits take a while to learn. Working out is not an overnight process. So again, if you have a gut, because you've had a gut for the last 10 years, 1 month of working out is not going to get rid of that gut. Not seriously, right? So I tell people, yeah, can you just do maybe 2 days a week, 2 full body workouts, and then maybe the other 5 days a week, you just walk for 30 to 45 minutes. Outside, get some fresh air. Active lifestyles are way more important than just going to the gym for an hour. So like the clients I've had that have had the biggest changes, they're only in the gym maybe 3 days a week. And then the other days they're like active. They're playing like pickleball or golf, or they go hiking, or, you know, they're consistently walking their dogs, or they're doing something with their kids outside, or they pick up some type of sport, whatever. But like if you can be active and do weights a couple days a week, that's way better than, hey, I just want to work out for 1 hour a day. So start small, and then you're going to, after a while, once 2 days a week seems pretty easy for you to maintain, add a third day. Once that seems pretty easy, add a fourth day, and then so on and so on. So, yeah.
Have you, we'll leave the names out for the purpose of privacy, but have you had a client that you've been training and you just been seeing those results and when you see this person, like this person just makes you so proud because of the work they put in.
Yeah, I would say a good amount of my people. Because really, you're going to have two types of people. Obviously, mm-hmm. They say, I think that study says like 50% of people don't stick to it. I think it's a little bit higher than that. I've had a plethora of types of clients that been with me for years. Again, I've been at that location for almost 4 years. I've had people mm-hmm. with me almost a whole 4 years or just under 3 years and then anything like that. So again, changes are bigger than just what the scale says. I've had people like go down 3 shirt sizes, a few pant sizes, 5% dropping, muscle mass is going up, things like that. And I've had some people, like I said, I got one lady, she had the gastric bypass like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding that you still need to change your lifestyle or the weight comes right back. So she got up to, I think, as high as 366. So she's pretty big. And her weight would yo-yo. Well, over the last year with me, when I met her, she was at like 280 or something. I got her down to 175.
Wow.
And we're working on staying in that 175 to 185 range, but like working on strength and endurance, things like that. And then, yeah, so it's, you know, and she's also one of the ladies I was talking about earlier that has gotten off medication, maybe taking 5 pills a day. Now she's down to no pills a day. So it's like, you know, different things happen once your body is being taken care of. So having people that you saw where they were at when they would have never thought that life without pain and low energy would be possible because that's just their normal. Oh, I've been feeling like this for the last 10, 15, 20 years. And then you don't understand like how much you can do in a year to 2 years to tip the scale into your favor. So it's a lot of it is just that consistency. But yeah, so I've had a lot of people that you definitely see that change. And what can be hard for them is other people see the change before you see it because you're looking at yourself every single day.
Right.
You don't notice those things. You don't really notice that the knee pain is kind of going away. Because it's so like there all the time that you don't even realize it when it's not there sometimes until one day you're actively thinking about it. I've had people like, oh yeah, I went down 3 shirt sizes, but I don't really see a difference. And then other people are like, yo, no, you lost a lot. And then they go look at pictures side by side. Damn, I have lost a lot. So it's like those moments keep me going.
So what sets you apart in terms of philosophy from what other trainers in the industry are doing?
So it's actually one of my pet peeves. I think there's a difference between like people you see on maybe on Instagram or Facebook that are promoting certain types of tips or tricks or like lose weight fast type of workouts, whatever, versus like actual certified trainers, people that actually went to school for it or actually got certifications and accredited companies, things like that. The former may talk about like, hey, yeah, you could lose 30 pounds in 30 days. They talk about how much you got to cut out and how much you got to change your life. But you look at those same clients maybe a few months later, if they're no longer with that trainer anymore and they blow right back up versus someone like me, I'm teaching you why you're doing those exercises because I don't want you to need me for the rest of your life. I want you to learn so that way eventually, you know, let's say give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man how to fish, feed him for a lifetime. I want to teach you how to fish. So like I'm consistently giving you exercises for you to try on your own. You make your notes. We're doing things. I'm asking you questions. He asked me a question. Oh, well, what does this work on? I'm asking, well, what do you think it works on? Based off the things we've talked about, what do you feel? How does that feel? Where you, you know, what muscles do you feel activating? Things like that. So I think the difference is like the Instagram people are just trying to kick your butt. So that way they can take your picture, say, oh, I've helped this person lose 20 pounds. But they didn't teach you anything. And really just depleting you. The second you stop doing that HIIT workout or whatever, you start to put the weight right back on. Versus like me, it's I'm teaching you how to do the things, how to be healthier, how to keep that weight loss off for the rest of your life. It's my goal. So the two are, I think one is more money driven. The other one's more career driven and I actually want to help.
I was gonna ask you about that too, like what you see as a, because I'm pretty sure you've seen a lot of personal trainers come and go. You're around a lot of personal trainers every single day. What a trend in the industry, a negative trend is, and I think you just cover that where you've
kind of
where you explain how there are people in the industry who aren't really in it to help.
I think maybe not the biggest, but at least the one that popped in my head the first are like the expectations of certain people because social media, you post whatever you want to post, right? Sometimes you don't post the most realistic depiction of your journey,
right?
I've seen people post, oh, this is me in 3 months, knowing damn well it took them over a year to accomplish whatever they accomplished. But I'm going to tell you 3 months because I know you're going to be impatient and I want you to buy my program. So that bothers me. So it's like, be for real with people, be upfront and honest. If I think your goal is maybe a 6 month goal, I'm going to tell you a year because I know in my head, if you were to push, it might take you 6 months, but realistically, I know what's more important is you developing the habits, making sure your form is good, make sure your stability and your balance and your core work and all that's good. Not just trying to lose the 20 pounds, but how you do it in a way that's going to keep it off for the rest of your life. So I don't do, what I call people, like, I tell them I don't do what we call quick fixes. I don't do the whole 30-day challenges, things like that. I don't do money grabs. It's all about helping you with longevity, not just trying to stroke your ego. You stroke my ego. It's about, I'm going to tell you like it is. You've been out of shape for 20 years. You're not going to change that in 6 months.
Right.
You could start, which is going to be better than nothing. You're going to see changes, but you haven't developed that lifestyle yet. I want to help you develop a lifestyle, which you're going to take bare minimum 10 to 12 months. After that, I can say, yeah, this is part of your lifestyle. This is who you are now. So,
you know, it's crazy. So I follow this guy on Instagram. I don't remember his name. But what he does is he calls out people who do Photoshops. Like, they Photoshop themselves. And he found this girl who actually took her client, and she actually Photoshops them out so they look bigger.
Mm.
And then she showed the actual picture.
Yeah.
Which she may not have Photoshopped. But yeah. I was like, that's insane that she actually Photoshopped the clients to look bigger on the before.
Yeah.
And that's so just honest to the client.
Some clients don't even care either. They go, well, yeah, if it helps you. Like, because sometimes the clients just love you. So they don't mind what you do to help, you know, or if they can help you get more business because you have that rapport. And they go, hey, you helped me lose 10 pounds. Maybe you help somebody else. But maybe you make it look like you lost 20 pounds, something like that. But because that's really big. So, like, when I have a female client, I tell them, one of my biggest point of emphasis for you is your self-confidence. So, like, I see there's a lot of women on Instagram that are either, like you said, Photoshopping, or they know how to work an angle or the shadows or editing softwares, whatever, especially with, like, AI now.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of women look and be like, dang, I want a body like hers, not understanding that she doesn't even have a body like hers. She's just posting certain things. Or, you know, as men, like, we, you know, we hit a great chest workout, we feel huge, and we go take a picture an hour later, kind of deflate a little bit. But, like, but some of it is, again, for people to stroke their egos. So a lot of it is, my job is to help you understand, like, some people say it to be negative, I say it to be positive. Stay in your own lane. Right. Worry about your progress, worry about your journey, worry about where you're going to be at. Because like we said earlier, you only have 24 hours. What are you grateful for today? Cool. Focus on that. You know what? Like, you'll get to whatever point you want to get to when you get there, but you won't get there if you keep being impatient. Don't worry about that end goal. Worry about how you're going to get there. Worry about, you know, your consistency with your water, your sleep, your weightlifting, your cardio, your, you know, things like that are going to piece everything together, you know.
I don't know, but do you think that aspect of the industry is ever going to go away? I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. So, again, like you said, if anything makes money, it's going to stay there.
Right.
At the very, and the more we develop with the internet and social media, the more that type of stuff's going to happen. People want to be small-time famous. People want to be acknowledged. People want to be looked at. People want to be liked. Like, looking at likes on Instagram is an addiction. It's a drug.
Yeah.
You want that. Yeah, you want that attention. So you're telling me that all you have to do is edit this a little bit and I can get maybe 30 more likes, 100 more likes, whatever. Cool, I'm going to do it. Some people are like that. So it's like you care more about what other people outside of your household think versus what you think about yourself more. So it's like, all right, well, if I can give a piece of advice to anybody, it would be worry about yourself more. Because at the end of the day, those people don't really care about you. They're not really thinking about you. You know, it's like they don't really care what you do with your life. So that means you got to care about your life. So you don't do it for them. You do it for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's gotta be really tough. Which is actually what I just covered in the next question. So I guess that fixed that question.
Just better stay positive.
What do you think? So we'll go back to that question. If if you have a client that asks you, I don't feel good about myself because I saw, you know, I look like this and I've been with you for 2 years. I've been putting in the work. So-and-so looks like this and she's been putting in X amount of time and I just don't feel good. Like, I don't feel like I'm doing enough.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So how would I handle that?
Yeah, how would you explain to this client that, how would you handle that?
Depends on the person. So like I said, like, it's not one size fits all. But some people I got to be straight up with. Like, some people think they're putting in the work and they're not. It's like, I have, like, on my online programming, mm-hmm. I can see how many times you log into your app to look at your workout for the day. I can see how long did it take you. Because if it says it only took you 15 minutes and I know it should take you an hour, I know you cut something out, you didn't really do it. If I see in 30 days, because you have something to do every day, whether you're walking, whether you're tracking something, whether you're actually at the gym. But if I know, like, in a 30-day span, you only logged in 15 times, that tells me you're missing something here. So, like, some people, I got to be straight up and, like, straightforward to them. Well, let's look at it. Like, are you really putting in the work you think you're doing? Like, what are some holes that we need to fill? Like, what are you really missing? Because sometimes it's as simple as you're not drinking enough water, you're not getting enough sleep, like, the things you don't think about. People put a lot of time and effort into, oh, that 45 minutes to an hour and a half that was in the gym, I should be making the change, or the cardio that they're doing. And a lot of this has to do with more than just in the gym. It's like your lifestyle, like I was saying earlier. Are you meal prepping? Are you tracking your protein? Are you sleeping roughly 8 hours a night? Are you getting, you know, half your body weight in ounces in water per day? Are you stressed out all the time? Because I know if your body's super stressed, it wants to hold on to things. So like sometimes those people I got to be straightforward with, I'll call them out on their BS and we sit down and map out, well, what are some changes you can make? Some people, it's not a necessarily, maybe they are doing everything. I got to reiterate the fact that you're not that other person. And like I said earlier, you got to stay in your lane. I had one girl in particular. I train her sister now because she got where she wanted to get to. She was with me for about a year to year and a half and small changes here and there. And she kept saying like, damn, like I want to quit. Like this is not working. Like I look the same. And I just had to keep preaching her, stick with it. Don't worry about it. Like you're better off doing the workouts than not doing the workouts. You're definitely not going to get to your goal if you don't do it.
Right.
And then about maybe 3 months later, after we had that like heart to heart talk, she just started, boom, everything started just dropping off. So the waist and the stomach got a lot smaller, but the butt got a lot bigger. Like the look she was looking for, the face started like really just slimmed up. And like everyone's timeline is different. So she finally hit that spot where the body just changed, boom. And now she's on go mode, like, oh, because nothing's really going to stop me now. So it's like everyone's timeline is different. So like me, like I said, I've been active since I could walk. So if I take a month off, I might get a little fluffier. The second I start picking up weights again, it drops right off because I've built up what I call interest, compounded interest. I'm able to do that, or the body is not too far off. I take like a couple weeks off just to heal up some injuries, or you know what? Maybe I'm lacking a little bit of motivation today. I just don't feel like working out. That's fine. When I get back into it, my body eats it up. Versus someone that's been a couch potato for 10 years, you have no interest at all. You got to build up that compounded interest. So it's like you can't do sometimes the same thing as like a pro athlete. Yeah.
Right.
So everyone's a little different how I approach it. So I try not to be mean. Yeah, I try to be direct, but not mean. Consider your feelings and understand, like, let's walk you through maybe why you're not reaching your goals. So some people think they're doing everything perfectly and like they're not. You know, sometimes tracking your macros is a lot harder than you thought it was. Maybe you're under eating, you don't realize you are, or mm-hmm. You thought you were doing, you know, I have a lot of tips and tricks too on how to reiterate certain things. So like sometimes visuals help. So let's say like you think you're hitting all your meals like you're supposed to. I'll have you create a chart. Let's say we agree that you're going to have 4 meals a day. You write, take a piece of paper, label it Sunday through Saturday. And then each day gets a blank little a mark. And then if you had a good meal, you get a check mark. If it's a bad meal, you put an X. So if it's no meal, put an X. So if you have alcohol with that meal, put an X. And then at the course of the month, we look at how many weeks did you do? And then of those weeks, how many X marks did you have? So you can visually see over the course of the month, did I stick to all my check marks or did I have a lot more X's than I thought I had? So it's like sometimes that micromanaging or that little observation of what you're doing from day to day. In the small picture, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. But in the big picture, you realize, oh, those are where my holes are. And then you work on fixing them. So, yeah.
I think a lot of people could use that because
yeah.
I think, like you said, it's easy for you to forget little things. You forgot today. You forgot the next day. You forgot the next day. And then at the end of the month, you don't remember how many days you forgot.
Yeah.
But if you had that visualization, like you said, that chart, and you could look at it, you're kind of like, oh, damn, I did forget. I forgot more than I thought I did. And
yeah, exactly. In hindsight, you think you're perfect. And then once you get into the details and the nitty gritty, you're like, oh, wait, like I am imperfect. I understand that I messed up more times than not. Because my goal for anybody is not to take the fun out of food. I want you to love food. I want you to have fun. If you go on a vacation, have your fun. If you're having a birthday dinner or whatever, have your glass of wine or your margarita, whatever. Like, I want you to have fun and enjoy life. But you also got to understand when it's not like fun time, you need to be disciplined. Because you have a goal. So you have to do what's going to reach you to that goal. So that way, when it's time to relax a little bit, you can do that without being guilty or feeling guilty. And then as soon as fun time is over, get right back into I'm on my disciplined stuff. Let me work towards my goal again.
Damn, man, you dropped a lot of good stuff. I'm going to have to steal some of that stuff myself.
That's why I'm trying to get better at posting like little by little on Instagram. Little tips and tricks. I'm like, all right, well, think about it this way or do that or why, like understand why you're doing this exercise or when it comes to this, or, you know, certain things like that. So if and I might give you three examples and none of them work for you, but that fourth one, you're like, oh, wait, that works too. So I've had some people download like MyFitnessPal and they say they're tracking everything, but either they don't know how to measure it out correctly and I can't be there in the kitchen with 30 people at a time.
Right.
So it's like, I just have to trust that you think you know what you're doing. Or I've had people, all right, you know, you're having issues with the tracking. Here's what we're going to do. Every meal you eat, send me a picture of it. And then together we'll talk about what I want you to change, what might be good, what might be bad. Or like I said earlier, the little check mark and X method. Ideally, did you stick to protein packed meals or are you snacking too much? How many alcoholic beverages did you have throughout the week? Because some people will go, all right, well, I didn't drink Monday through Friday, so Saturday I'm going to have all the alcohol I want. I said, yeah, if I spread it out the same number across a week, you might as well have them off a week and it's the same number. So you're still messing yourself up.
Yeah.
So different things work for different people. So it's just about how can I get you to understand that you're an individual. You're not like anybody else, right? So what may work for person A may not work for person B. How do I get person B on track to where person B needs to be at? So
this is a lot of great stuff. I appreciate you coming on. So last question. You have any big personal goals next year?
Next year?
In terms of growth?
Continue growing my online business. Like I said, hopefully we can get that podcast going. It'd be with Jory and Micah.
Mm-hmm.
If the three of us can get it going, that'd be good. I have some financial goals where I try to add a certain amount of money to my overall yearly revenue. So that's either goal. But so my brand, Slim Gym Fitness, I'm trying to grow that a little bit more. So not just with the online training, but like, you know, actually get merchandise going, things like that. So like those are goals of mine.
You plan on traveling?
Maybe. So I know this year I mindfully took a break from traveling just that way. Oh, also another goal, pay off more debt. Got too much debt. Yeah, student loan debt just kicked back in. I got to pay off this car, saving up for a house, things like that. But I may take one trip. At one point, I was going out the country at least once a year. I might go back to that. Just, you know, again, have that fun. You know, money is meant to be spent, to be honest with you. So, like,
yeah. Internationally, where would you go?
I like Central and South America. Great weather, great food. Like I said, I like Hispanic women, so they look great. The cost is not too bad. So, like, I know to get to, like, Europe usually costs a little bit more. Things like that. I mean, I've been through a lot of places in the U.S. So now that's why now I'm going outside the country. But, you know, I like to go to places I've never been. So, you know, mark it off of the map, keep it going. So I've already been to Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Colombia, Panama. Yeah, so I've been to a couple different places already. So I just continue expanding my horizon.
You ever been to a place where you're like, this is literally paradise and I don't want to leave?
Colombia was like that. It was, like I said, everything about it seemed perfect. Like I said, all the way to the weather. Like, I don't like the cold at all. So it's getting cold here. I hate it. I hate it. And the closer I can be to the equator, the better. And so it's either hot and dry or hot and rainy. And I'm okay with that as long as it's hot.
Yeah. Right?
But even the
as long as you don't step outside and... there's frost all over your car window. Yeah, and you have to sit there for like 20 minutes.
It bothers me. The only time I like it cold is when I'm trying to sleep. And that's it.
So I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you taking us into your world.
Yeah.
It's been fun. I will drop your information in the description. And any last words you want to say?
Try to end with some positivity. So I'll say something like, always remember, especially when it comes to fitness, as long as you're taking steps to move forward, you're succeeding. You're a success. The only way that you're quote unquote failing is if you give up and decide not to do the work at all. So a small step is still going forward. A big step is great, but no step at all is the worst thing you could do.
That's some great information. Yeah. That's a great message.
That's off the top of the head, too.
All right, I'm going to close it out.